Good morning. I have a few announcements before we start. Gina Magnus reminds us that our church will be hosting Family Promise again the week of March 29th through April 5th, which is Easter weekend. Please help out if you can. Sign up on Sign Up Genius, which is online, or in the social hall after the service, there's a sign-up sheet. Also, if you like today's service, Eric leads a sangha here every week on Thursday called the Kintsugi Sangha. And if it's your first time coming for meditation, he would like you to come at 6. Otherwise, conversation and meditation start at 6:30.
Beliefs, sensations, and emotions which arise and fall away. Meditative awareness, clear intention, acting wisely, compassionately, and skillfully are this practice. I rely upon this only. I rely upon this skillfully.
Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUC, we work to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Wendy, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, friends, and members, wherever they are in life's journey and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. like and follow Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church on Facebook in order to get ongoing information about activities, and check out our web page at lcuuc.org. Tweeting, Googling, and social media use during the service are welcome, but please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all electronics you may have here with you today. And again, welcome to all here this morning. We are so pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
So join us in the opening hymn, We Are the Rising Sun. Children of all ages, join me down front here if you'd like to hear a story. I could use some young ones and some older ones. I need help with somebody who's willing to hold the book and turn pages. You guys want to get a little closer. So this is a story about how people are all kind of different and how different is actually really okay and different is actually very good. It would actually be a nice thing if everybody was different. So this is a story by Karen Beaumont. This is still nice. Hang on to this. This way. There we go. Okay. Go ahead. So I like myself. term, Paige. I like myself. I'm glad I'm me. There's no one else I'd rather be. I like my eyes, my ears, my nose. I like my fingers and my toes. I like me wild. I like me tame. I like me different and the same. I like me fast. I like me slow. I like me everywhere I go. I like me on the inside too. For all I think and say and do, this looks a little weird, doesn't it? Yeah. Inside, outside, upside down, from head to toe and all around, I like it all. It all is me, and me is all. That's not working. Inside, outside, upside down, from head to toe and all around, I like it all. All is me, and me is all I want to be. And I don't care in any way when someone else may think or say. I may be called a silly knot or crazy cuckoo bird. So what? I'm having too much fun, you see, for anything to bother me. Even when I look a mess. Hair ever look like that? I did this morning. Even when I look a mess, I still don't like me any less, because nothing in this world, you know, can change what's deep inside. And so, no matter if they stop and stare, no person ever anywhere can make me feel what they see. Can make me feel that what they see is all there ever is to me. I still like me with fleas or warts or with a silly snout that snorts or knobby knees or hippo hips or purple polka-dotted lips or beaver breath or stinky toes or horns protruding from my nose or yikes with spines all up and down my spine or hair that's like a porcupine. I still would be the same, you see, because I like myself because of me. Thank you. Thank you. So, do we have someone to carry the lantern for us this morning? Who's going to be our lantern bearer? Someone with crazy hair or a silly nose? Got it. And please join me as we sing the children out. Unitarian Universalism, built on a foundation of guiding principles rather than dogma, offers viewpoints rather than faith statements. These teachings, which are fundamental to the Unitarian Universalist Association, an organization which is not quite yet 60 years old, these are a way of stating in simple to understand language the values which this community shares. Please help keep this living tradition alive. With your financial support, we can keep it around long enough to get old enough to be able to collect Social Security. The morning offering will now be received.
Service for joys and concerns. You are invited to share personal sorrows and joys with our church community during this sacred time. Please be brief so all who wish to may share.
Of concern for my mother, who this past week had a stroke with significant paralysis on her left side, including her throat. So your thoughts would be appreciated.
Hi, my name's Claire. A candle of love and support for a family who I pet sit for. They had to put their dog to sleep this past week.
I'm Al, a candle for the Krill family, and a candle for Marie Brem.
Our first reading today is the Unitarian Universalist Seven Principles. Principle number 7, respect for the independent web of all existence of which we are a part. Principle number 6, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Number 5, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. Number 4, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Number 3, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. Number two, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. And the first guiding principle of which our diverse, welcoming, Unitarian Universal tradition is built. The inherent worth and dignity of every person, inherent adjective, existing in someone as a permanent, essential, inseparable element, quality, or attribute. Worth, adjective, the level at which someone or something deserves to be valued or rated. Dignity, a noun, the state or quality of being worthy of honor or respect. As you use, we believe humans have inherent worth and dignity because we exist, not because of the good deeds we've done or the money we've paid or how much we've suffered. We believe in inherent worth and dignity for all because we're alive. We believe this is so from the very beginning of every person. We believe all humans have these attributes. Every single person, no exceptions, no matter what. Here it's our first reading.
So join me in a moment of meditation, prayer, or centering silence. Notice your breath. Notice how you're sitting. Notice where you're sitting. And just notice. Enlightenment waits for every blade of grass. When you become a student of Zen, it's helpful to meditate every day. But this isn't the goal. And likewise, you may choose to eat local and organic or become practiced in the art of yoga or qigong. But those are not the goals. The goal is not to give up all worldly goods and live a life of pious servitude. The goal is to live an awakened life. Wake up to your true nature. Who are you? Who are you really? When you strip off the titles and the degrees, take away the mortgages and the clothes and the investment portfolios and the ego defenses, when you drop everything, what's left? What's left when everything is let go of, when nothing, when no thing remains? The ineffable, the indescribable which remains when no thing remains is that unpronounceable, blindingly stunning, magnificently amazing, deep truth of your true nature. The 2,500-year-old Buddhist tradition has as its foundation the belief that all of us are already Buddhas. Buddha simply means awake one. Not by virtue of our good deeds or great effort or fortunate family circumstance, not because of titles, degrees, or investment portfolios. This Buddhahood is inherent in our nature. By virtue of our existence, we are, at our core, beings of joy beyond comprehension, compassion beyond time and space, no beginning, no end, vast, powerful, beyond measure, each and every one of us, no exceptions, no matter what. Hakuin Ikkaku, born in 686, stated this very clearly in his song of Zazen. All beings are by nature Buddha, as ice is by nature water. Apart from water, there is no ice. Apart from beings, there is no Buddha. Not knowing how near the truth is, we seek it far away. What a pity. Like someone in the midst of water, crying in thirst so imploringly. Like the child of a wealthy house who has wandered away among the poor. Lost on dark paths of ignorance, we wander through the six worlds, stumbling from one dark path to another. How can we be freed from this endless cycle of delusion? Join us in the next hymn. How could anyone ever tell you? We, the members of this Unitarian Universalist congregation, covenant to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Do you live your life as if that's true? Do you go through the day feeling it, knowing it, respecting yourself as though inherent worth and dignity is real, not just a part of a UU elevator speech? Do you feel it in you? Do you recognize it in the people on the street, those folks in the 7-Eleven or at Starbucks in line in front of you? Inherent worth and dignity in all people, all the time. I wish I did. Mostly I don't. How interesting. And I find it very curious that Buddhism and UUism both state unequivocally that we have this inherent worth and dignity by virtue of our existence, not as a result of actions or arising conditions. Not because of how we vote or where we live, but as part of the fabric that makes us who we are. The two traditions present this concept in slightly different ways, but at the core, I believe there is no difference. There is no disagreement on how we are to treat each other. Buddhism goes a step farther than UUism by saying this inherent worth and dignity applies to all creatures, great and small. All sentient and non-sentient beings everywhere are Buddhas from the very beginning. According to this, it seems that we two-leggeds may not have a monopoly on inherent worth and dignity. It's not just in every one of us, it's in all of us. All of us, the humans, we two-leggeds, yes, but also the rest of the animals, the birds and the fishes in the sea. It's everywhere, in everything that is conscious. In the people who marched over the bridge into Selma, Alabama 50 years ago this week, and in the police who barricaded their way. It's in every one of us, in this place, right here, right now, out in the open. And mostly we don't act like it. We don't experience it. How interesting. Anas Mojani wrote a poem a few years ago called Shake the Dust. Maya and Will are going to present it for us this morning.
This is for the fat girls. This is for the little brothers. For the former prom queen and for the milk crate ball players. This is for the schoolyard wimps and the childhood bullies that tormented them. Shake the dust. This is for the benches and the people sitting upon them. This is for the bus drivers driving a million broken hymns. And for the parents who have to hold down three jobs simply to hold up their children. For the nighttime schoolers and for the midnight bike riders who are trying to fly, shake the dust.
Shane Coizan says, "Once upon a time we were young and our dreams hung like apples waiting to be picked. Once upon a time we took chances. We figure skated on thin ice. We believed that each slice of life was served with something sweet on the side." And I would continue on by saying, once upon a time our vision extended beyond the horizon of what we could see. We knew who we were. We knew what we liked. We knew what we wanted. Back then we were liberated, with endless streams of warm summer days stretching out to the horizon. The world was magical. Wonderful, beautiful, and we were in it. We were it. I was my bicycle. I was also open, curious, accepting, and courageous. I was in a state of grace. Remember that state of grace. We'll revisit that in a minute. So somewhere, somehow along the way, some of us forgot that experience. We forgot what we once knew. We forgot who we were. We lost that state of grace. Somehow things changed. The long summer days drew to a close. The bike was set aside, maybe for more important things. Maybe it was puberty. Maybe it was when our parents got divorced, when that accident happened, when my dog died. When the girl I secretly liked told me she was already going out with someone else. When he asked me what my degree was in, I said I didn't have one, and he responded with, "Oh, I thought so." At moments like that, the world shifts a little bit on its axis, and some of us find ourselves tipped off balance just a little bit. Our feet not quite underneath us anymore, we question the unshakable bedrock on which we thought we'd been standing all along. In that moment, we doubted who we really were. For me, I flinched just for a moment. I lost my nerve. My trust in myself faltered, and it never really fully recovered. And later, there was another pushed off balance moment, and another, and one more, and one more, and one more. And slowly this thought in me gained hold as I lost balance. I must have been mistaken about who I am.
This is for the 2-year-olds who cannot be understood because they speak half English and half God. Shake the dust for the boys with the beautiful, beautiful sisters. Shake the dust for the girls with the brothers who are going crazy. For those gym class wallflowers and the 12-year-olds who are afraid of taking public showers. For the kid who's always late to class because he forgets the combination to his locker. For the girl who loves somebody else. Shake the dust. This is for the hard men who want love but know that it won't come for the ones who are forgotten. for the ones who the amendments do not stand up for the ones who are told to speak only when they are spoken to and then are never spoken to. Speak every time you stand so that you do not forget yourself. Never let a moment go by that doesn't remind you that your heart beats 100,000 times a day and that there are enough gallons of blood to make every one of you an ocean. Do not settle for letting these waves settle and for the dust to collect in your veins.
So you began to believe what was whispered at you, or shouted at you, or beaten and taunted and teased and slapped and ignored and threatened and ultimately scared into you. For many of us, it was worse than being beaten. Some of us died a physical death. The rest of us died an emotional death. We were somehow coaxed into putting our hearts and our trust in the universe into a little box. Fear got to us. Over time, we believed that frightened, fearful voice more and more. Doubt continued to grow, and we forgot what we once knew so deeply that we felt it in our very bones to be true. We forgot our rightful place in the universe of things. We actually trapped ourselves. And in so doing, we fell from grace and felt shame about who we are. Falling from grace. Does that sound familiar? That is the thread used to weave the biblical Garden of Eden story. The result of biting into the fruit of that special tree was knowledge. The result of that knowledge was noticing that they were naked. And when they noticed they were naked, Adam and Eve were suddenly ashamed of that nakedness and covered themselves to hide that shame. But hidden shame is still shame. Shame is the acid which corrodes human psyches. It is the most toxic mental poison one can experience. Inside some of us, that shame gradually grew and grew until it overshadowed the experience of being worthy, valued, and loved. Questioning doubt, nagging fear, guilt, eventually maybe anxiety and neurosis, they wrapped rope around the box which now held our true nature, our heart, and our trust in ourselves. Shame tied the knots tightly and tossed what we once were into the back of the hall closet along with the rest of the single mittens and the mismatched socks. Choked by dust, disconnect, denial, depression, and a palpable sense of smallness, we lost our voice. We succeeded at forgetting who we were. We fell from grace. We lost our self-esteem, and in so doing, we found shame. For me, a part of me gave up. Nothing I could ever do would be good enough because I wasn't enough. It was more than I did something wrong. I came to believe that I am something wrong. At the core, I am defective. I had been transformed from that free, open, graceful young one into a person who felt ashamed of who he was. I conflated or confused. I did something wrong with I am something wrong. Even though I was told, don't take it personally, what I was really taught was, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should take this personally. This very simple misunderstanding between doing and being condemns us to a life imprisoned by shame. The same tradition which gives us the story of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the fall from grace, the expulsion from the Garden of Eden, that same tradition gave us a way to personalize this teaching, to make it easier to kind of take it personally. They called it original sin, and they said, we've all got it. Christianity is not the only tradition with a story to explain this tendency of experiencing less than-ness, to believe we are defective from the very start. The tantric yogic tradition recognizes the same concept. In that lineage, there is a description of something called the three malas. They are, I'm not good enough, I don't know enough, I don't do enough. And they say that at birth, every soul has these three seeds implanted in it. And during our lifetimes, these seeds will at some point sprout in every one of us. And we will be forced to come to grips with them. These three malas create the experience that we are separate from the divine. In this yogic tradition, separateness from dignity and Buddhahood is impossible, because we are all divine creatures by virtue of being alive. We are part of God and cannot be separated from God. Therefore, this experience of separateness, of less than-ness, of shame, is misguided thinking. It is delusional, and it is the basis of shame, a belief that we are unlovable and not good enough.
This is for the celibate pedophile who keeps on struggling, for the poetry teachers and for the people who go on vacation alone, for the sweat that drips off Mick Jagger's singing lips and for the shaking skirt on Tina Turner's shaking hips, for the heavens and for the hells through which Tina has lived. This is for the tired and the dreamers, for those families that want to be like the Cleavers with perfectly made dinners and sons like Wally and the Beaver. This is for the bigots, for the sexists, and for the killers, for the big house pen sentence cats becoming redeemers, and for the springtime that somehow seems to show up right after every single winter. This is for every one of you. Make sure that by the time the fisherman returns, you are gone, because just like the days, I burn at both ends, and every time I write, every time I open my eyes, I am cutting out a part of myself just to give it to you. So shake the dust and take me with you, do, for none of this has ever been for me. All that pushes and pulls and pushes and pulls and pushes and pulls, it pushes for you.
So what do you do about this experience of less than-ness? What do I do? What can I do? Lin Shi Yishuan lived over 1,000 years ago and addressed this stuckness. What follows is a paraphrased excerpt from his collected writings called the Rinzai Roku. All that is required is all at once to cease leaving yourself in search of something external. When this is done, you will find yourself no different from the Buddha. Do you want to know who the Buddha is? The Buddha is no other than the one who is at this moment right in front of me, listening to me talk. You have no faith in yourselves, and therefore you are in quest of someone else, somewhere else, something else, outside of yourselves. When faith in yourself is lacking, you are no longer your own master. You are pushed about by others this way and that. All that is required is all at once to cease leaving yourself in search of something external. So what are you waiting for? The right partner? Your soulmate? The perfect job? 2 trees? 3 flags? Nothing. Stop. Don't look outside for who you really are. Remember, look inside. You are inherent worth and dignity, miraculously incarnated right here, right now. How mysterious, how wondrous, how magnificent.
So grab the world by its clothespins and shake it out again and again, and jump on top and take it for a spin. And when you hop it off, shake it again, for this is yours. Make my words worth something. Make this not just another poem that I write, not just some poem like Just Another Night that sits heavy above us all. Walk into it. Breathe it in. Let it crash through the halls of your arms like the millions of years of millions of poets coursing like blood, pumping and pushing, making you live, shaking the dust. So when the world knocks at your front door, clutch the knob tightly and open up. Run forward into its widespread greeting arms with your hands outstretched before you, fingertips trembling though they may be.
Fingertips trembling though they may be. And here is where words fail, and the direct experience must take over. Do you remember that you used to know how this felt? Can you remember how it once felt? Can you remember what it was like to truly know yourself and trust yourself and believe in yourself and feel confident and feel safe and feel whole, complete, and fully alive? Do you remember? Think back to the good memories when you were young. Did you ever play hide and seek or capture the flag or army or any one of the variations on a theme of hide long enough and you'll be safe? I remember doing this, and I remember the excitement and fear as I struggled to find the very, very best hiding spot. And then how hard I worked to stay as quiet as I possibly could, sometimes not even breathing for fear of being found. The game would at times seem to stretch on forever. Did they forget me? Is it over already? What happened? And then, without warning, I'd hear those magic words which changed everything. Ollie, Ollie, Oxenfree! Which meant that the game was over. I was safe. I could come out of hiding and find out what happened. What happened? Who else was caught? I hadn't gotten caught, and so I was safe. I won. How cool is this? Let's do it again. And sometimes children's games are a metaphor for an experience that's deeper than we realize. Some say that phrase, alle, alle, Oxenfree, is actually a mispronunciation of the German alle, alle, auch sind frei, which transliterated means everyone is also free. Interesting. So in addition to everyone else being free, I too am free? I'm safe? It's okay to stop hiding? I'm okay, you're okay? We're all okay? We all have inherent worth and dignity? Sentient beings are, from the very beginning, Buddhas? Is that true? So, come out, come out, wherever you are. Right? What would it take to make it safe enough to come out again? To get that tied-up box out of the hall closet, cut through the knots of fear, reintegrate your trust in yourself, and bring your heart back into your body. What would it take to make it safe enough to remember? To remember who you really are. To remember who you've been all along. Become again the person you once were before you got scared, before you were hurt, before fear knocked you off balance. What would it take to remember that once upon a time you stood straight and tall, you allowed yourself to be seen honestly, openly, you spoke as though you were heard, acted as though you were loved, lived as though you were valued and valuable? This remembering yourself, this remembering, this putting yourself back together, this integration or soul retrieval or recovery from trauma, this is sometimes compared to an egg being cracked open or being struck by a bolt of lightning. A Chinese tradition describes it feeling like being struck by a jet black iron ball speeding through the night. On the other hand, for many of us, this experiencing of our true nature happens more slowly. Maybe as a result of years of hard work and effort to reclaim what was taken from us, to release again what we ourselves once locked up. For some of us, it isn't a sudden crack in the cosmic egg. It's a slow experience that seeps in like the rising sun. slowly folding back the night's blanket of stars ever so gently. We are luminous, radiant, majestic beings slowly rebirthing ourselves in the dawn's early light. Just like the springtime, which is beginning to show itself outside, I am gradually revealing my heart and who I truly am. Come join me. Do it with me. What does it take? It takes faith. Faith that the feeling you remembered from so very long ago is actually true. Faith that the following statements are true. We all have inherent worth and dignity. We are all enlightened. From the very beginning, we are Buddhas. At some point, you'll just have to decide, was it true then? Is it true now? Well, I say, yes, it is. So decide with me. Do it now. Do it. Come out now. Your way begins on the other side. Become the morning sky. Take an axe to the prison walls of shame and escape. Reclaim who you truly are. Walk out like someone suddenly born into color. Do it now. Let yourself feel it now. You've been covered with thick clouds for so long. No more words. No more fingers pointing at the moon. Now what? Now the speechless morning sun rises. We are dawning. Do it now.
Sleeping. I've been so still, afraid of crumbling. Have I been careless, dismissing all the distant rumblings? To take me where I am. Now I'm throwing off the carelessness of youth to listen to an inconvenient truth. 'Cause I need to move.
Fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, religious, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Directly into the mirror in fear that we would go blind. Remember, I used to find any old reasons to call someone. crushing on. And we did pulling off our sense of embarrassment. But I chunk of courage would last just long enough it would have us asking him about math and stuff. And our stuff was just stuff, like I heard you getting braces. And how braces somehow were and still are kind of on. Remember how we forgot? Remember how we all caught mono? And our folks would go, ooh, the kissing disease. And our first steps into gangsterhood had to say, mother, please. Even though we'd never really kissed anyone. Even though we never did half the things we said we'd done. We just spun yarns like Rumpelstiltskin spun gold. We told ghost stories, never realizing one day ourselves would become ghosts, haunting the hallways of schools. The poltergeist breaking all the rules of silence in the library. But we had no chains to rattle, no voice to battle the fact that we had no vocal cords. We had only fingernails on chalkboards, and we'd scream, shout, and yell, trying to tell ourselves what experience can teach us. No teacher taught. Remember how we forgot. Once upon a time, we were young. Our dreams hung like apples, waiting to be picked and peeled, and hope was something needed to be reeled in, so we feel the always empty big fish better than the one that got away, and proudly say that this time, impossible is not an option, because success is so akin to effort and opportunity that you can relate. So we took chances, we figured skating on thin ice, believed that each slice of life was served with something sweet on the side, and failure was never nearly as important as the fact that we tried. That in the war against frailty and limitation, we supplied the determination it takes to make ideas and goals the parents of possibility. And we believe ourselves to be members of this family, not just one branch or one tree, but a forest whose roots make up a dynasty. So when I call you sis or bro, it's not lightly. And when I ask you to remember, it's because the future isn't what it used to be. Uncharted lands of any and everywhere we are unbound. 6 feet above the underground where we will all one day rest, so until then test the limits, test the boundaries and borders, as if the headquarters of potential lay just beyond the world's edge. Let the belief that hope belongs to us all be the pledge you take to make the unachievable as inconceivable as the false fact that we never hear, we're here. Our memories are as dear to us, every slow motion moment of held breath. So remember every instant before death, every first kiss, first dance, near miss, last chance, yes, no, maybe so. Let's go the distance once more. Let's remember all the moments that were and were not. But the point is something we can get, and what we can get is what we got. Because all we have, the times between the moments, we connect each dot, so live and remember. Burn like an ember capable of starting fires, like each moment inspires the next, like memories of the context we put ourselves in, so that life becomes the next of kin we need to notify kids of a big bang or extinction level event. Let now be our advent. Let us live like we meant it. Let us burn like we mean it. Because this world doesn't give a shit if we ended our train wreck or a car crash, if our story ends with a dot or a dash, we were dust or ash. Because only words all will be, and only ours the in-between, so far so good. So forget every wood critter, should not forget remembering how we forgot. Live like a plot twist exists now and a memory, because we burn bright. Our light leaves stars on the sun. Let no one say we'll be undone by time's passing. The memories we are amassing will stand as testament that somehow we've been minds around the concept that we see others within ourselves. That self-knowledge can be found on bookshelves. So who we are has no bearing on how we appear. Look directly in every mirror. Realize our reflection is the first sentence to a story. And our story starts, we were here.
As we extinguish this flame, let us go our separate ways, knowing not the answer to all things, yet seeking always the answer to one more thing than we now know. Let us be searchers with our fellow men and women, adventurers in ways untried, holding high the hope of discovery and sharing that hope and whatever discovery may come with others.
Thank you.